This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We went from streaking about three games ago to wondering if tonight is a must-win on this station. These are the things that we have for you today. A spring training update, but we got Mac Robinson here engineering out at the Clevelander Bar and Grill. Come on out and see us, everybody. We're going to be here through the end of the show. I want to know who you guys are rooting for today. I think we can all admit we're Robert Morris fans because bleep Alabama. I mean, it's a 15 versus a 2. Of course we want Robert Morris to win, but then we got Kayla Colejohn back on the board.
Yes.
Jake Murren pulling double duty for at least the next 2 hours on the beautiful 2020 she just heard there and behind the glassy knoll as he is the Assassin's Apprentice. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. Did you see the Vanderbilt fans doing their little chants right when we were starting? Vanderbilt, as they're getting ready to go and make their way, some still here, some leaving. It was the lamest chant I think I've ever heard.
Oh, why?
They were so lame.
Come on, they're excited.
They were so
they're not used
so
to
lame.
Being good at athletics.
I've never
so of
even
course.
Heard a Vanderbilt chant before in my life.
But okay, so maybe you just need to normalize Vanderbilt chants within your own ecosystem.
What
right?
in the Darius Garland is going on here right now?
Oh, come on. Here's the thing. I was worried that they were doing it to troll us, and then I think they just got excited.
They got excited. I love seeing people excited,
though. Because somebody was walking out.
Yeah. No, it was like a group of
like – Vanderbilt.
It was like seven or eight of them.
Yeah, it was. It was
It was half their group.
I was actually going to say it was all their group.
I mean,
but, yeah. Yeah, it was a big moment for them.
I like that this is the Vandy meetup bar. It's interesting seeing like Marquette fans. You got all sorts of different people out and about here getting ready for the big games today. Which by the way, I don't know if you've ever been to the opening round of the March Madness tournament ever.
No.
Wildly awful crowd.
Aww.
Like it's great if you're if you're a Vanderbilt fan
yeah.
and you just want to go see Vanderbilt play. And I actually know some people that went to Vanderbilt that live in Cleveland. Like that's a great combo for you. It's not the wine and cheese crowd that the Super Bowl is. It's a very confused crowd.
Uh-huh.
So like there's always the sections that are rooting for the teams that are playing, but then obviously they sell out other sections of the day for the teams that haven't played yet, and then just the locals. And so no one knows who's rooting for anyone. It is a hodgepodge of random jerseys. And ultimately, it makes for what I believe to be one of the worst fan experiences you can have.
All right. So, okay. Well, how do you have that take? And I heard Baskin and Phelps, who wrapped up their week yesterday, say if you ever get a chance to go to the first or second day of the tournament, you have to go. Where's the give here?
My only response back would be either A, they haven't been to one in recent years, or B, it's just been so long. I don't know that Baskin would make that same claim if he went to today's game.
All right, so they're also...
Are you saying maybe I just went to bad sites? I don't know.
Or I'm saying that maybe Jeff and Andy like a more subdued environment.
Oh, that could be the case,
like,
too.
We're at a different stage of life than them. We want raucous. We want enough of a party. You know, we want the whole shebang.
Fair point.
I think they just want teams to shake hands afterwards and say huzzah and be gentlemen.
Look at the sportsmanship of it all.
Yeah.
It's like when LeBron was here, the Cavs games were so loud
intense, and they were like bad games.
But LeBron, though, I mean, I'm talking about like the fans. I'm talking about the in-game music.
Yeah.
LeBron wanted it at a certain level that was so ridiculously high. There were enough people that just hated the experience because of the music being so loud. If you are one of those people, you'll love what the round of 64 and 32 are.
Now it's time that I admit two things today.
Yeah,
one, I am sick of people saying how bad the tournament is. Because we're only in one half of it. And maybe we're going to disagree on this.
We probably will.
But two...
I've had fun.
Admittedly, I've not been able to watch what I normally have been able to watch because I've been on the NyQuil train, and I've watched about, probably 20, 25 minutes.
Okay.
Collectively.
I don't want to take you out of the conversation because obviously you're welcome to voice whatever opinion you want, but I do feel like the people that are saying it stinks are the people that actually watched the games yesterday and were left very unamused at the quality of basketball that was being played.
All right, so I did... Okay, so that I... Listen, we had what? Two upsets? Two real upsets. There was Drake over Missouri.
Yeah,
McNeese State over Clemson.
A Drake team, by the way, that won 30 games and had all sorts of big-time wins, yeah.
And then, I mean, if we want to call a 10 over a 7, that's kind of tame for what we want.
It is, but it was still... I mean, I watched that whole game,
uh-huh,
and that was actually entertaining because college basketball, the heart of it, is about coach versus coach.
So I guess maybe I said this wrong. If you want to say yesterday wasn't a good day of college basketball, there wasn't enough excitement, there's a lot of lopsided games as well. All right, I think you're right. I also think that's what happens when you just have a stinker of a first day of the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's an indictment on the sport where I think I've heard some people be like, I guess the tournament's just dead.
Well, so I, for years, have maintained, and this is when I was enjoying college basketball more than I have this year, but I've always made the case that the Sweet 16 round should be the round that is more desirable to the random fan, and then even just college basketball fan, because the play gets higher because the teams are better, and you really do have the creme de la creme.
Yeah, the problem is you don't have enough games to do what, like... Okay, so even on a bad day of college basketball action... That first round of the playoffs, it is this game ends, and then you go to the final 2 minutes of this game, and then you go to the final 2 minutes of this game. So maybe I'm being an optimist, maybe because...
Well, you're just describing a buffet, though. People just like a buffet in that matter.
I also like buffets.
Where it's not even that you care about the quality of the food. You just want as many options as you possibly can and just all given to you at once instead of maybe a nice four-course meal where it's spread out when everything you eat is awesome.
Well, but I think... this is fair, but I... Because when that buffet is popping, it's the best eats you can have. It's Scotty Scheffler's, was it the Champions?
Is Augusta his master's dinner?
His master's dinner. That's what college basketball is when the first or second day of the first round of the playoffs is the way it's supposed to be.
No.
Last night was awesome.
Blackened fish in there.
Today could have sucked and no one would notice. Like, we wouldn't use it as some sort of indictment, but because the first night was just not what we wanted it to be, with a lot of lopsided games, not enough upsets. People turn this into, college basketball sucks. It's never going to be the same again. It's time to shut it down. It's like, I disagree.
I don't know about shutting it down, but you can't deny the idea that it is less palpable, the excitement around this event right now.
Could it be that we're also older?
So I wonder this, because Anthony, who was producing in for Jake yesterday, asked us that question, essentially. He was like, is it just because you guys are older that you're not as into this? And I did take myself back. I mean, if you are freshly removed from college, you're grasping onto the college experience, and there is something fun about these games.
Well, and, like, let's be clear, working the first two games of the tournament, which we do every year because they fall on Thursday and Friday, that makes it tougher to enjoy. Like, I worked in different office environments, 15 years ago.
I would need this if I was in a cubicle.
Well, no, so that's...
I would need a day like
today.
What
we would do is everybody would have... kind of okay, those of us fortunate enough to be able to get a TV, we'd just have it in our office and we'd do work. And by do work, I mean we'd answer an email every hour and then we'd watch the damn tournament.
Okay, well, that's part of the reason why I think so many people love the tournament is because you work in your office, you work in your cubicle, and Thursday and Friday, yesterday and today, are basically just blow-off days where you have to focus on something other than work instead of just, you know, randomly checking websites and such.
So I'm willing to say that my relationship with the tournament has changed, but that's probably as much about me as it is the tournament. Because I just the think pieces on the tournament of, well, is this the cost of NIL? Is this the transfer portal? Is this that? Those are absolutely factors. And it is, I mean, it very much is a hyper 6-week situation where you're just not incentivized to watch in Miami in December anymore or Holy Cross in January anymore. So I'll see those points. But, like, I think today has a chance with some of the matchups, even here. I mean, St. Mary's versus Vanderbilt. I don't know that those Vandy fans are going to be doing the chant here in about 3 hours' time.
Yeah, I mean, does it move the needle for you, though, St. Mary's versus Vandy?
No, I mean, there are probably other games that are more. I was just trying to localize. I was just trying to be nice to the fans here. But, like, look at it. I mean, Xavier versus Illinois, Troy versus Kentucky. Like, there are some games, even Colorado State-Memphis, which is going on right now, just tipped off. Like, if we get two or three 12 or better seeds pulling upsets or threatening upsets today, I feel like we're right back in the game.
I don't know. I feel like college basketball has lost its place. I feel like it's just not. Like, I watched that Creighton game yesterday. There was a 25-year-old that was on the court. They were giving his whole profile. He's 25. He's got a wife. He's got a kid. He's got a whole life, and he's taking on these 18-year-olds.
Okay, so in fairness to that point, I have noticed the hairlines in this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, the sponsor of this tournament should be Just for Men.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, we got to get Clyde the Glide. Or, sorry,
what a Perry Ellis is out there, is what you're saying?
Well, I've seen foreheads that, like, they look more like dads and grandpas than
no,
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you know, I'm playing through some pain today. I could have used
you
a shot.
You used some Bud Light.
Oh, well, I do like Bud Light.
Was I too quick to say no thanks?
I mean, I would like to at least have been part of the decision. You and Mac immediately waved it off. I was talking. I didn't have a chance to say
zero.
The Bud Light offer is very nice.
Zero awareness of us doing a radio show in that moment, by
not
the way.
At all. Not
zero,
at all.
And she was not going to take anything but an answer out of me.
That's
so
true.
So I had to say, you know, no thanks. You know, appreciate it. Mac, I think that's your job, by the way. I think you need to hop in front of us here, and then we can just completely ignore
it. I don't think that's Mac's forte. I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean you're not the most assertive human being in the world. Mac is like miming things, like I know what he's talking about. Like, you know when somebody's just trying to communicate with you, but they can't talk to you because they get yelled at for being on air? And they're like, it's like Marcel Marceau over here. They did a good job. You'd be a hell of a mime there, Mac.
Well, so since we're here at the Clevelander with Bud Light, next time they come around, do you want me to say yes? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I'm not going to say it on air.
Okay.
Like, God. Okay. Hey, Mr. President. Did you go ahead and violate the Constitution? Well, I wasn't going to say it on the record, but I guess Congress is here. It'd be wrong for me to not do so. But no, the hairlines in these tournaments are ridiculous. But so we'll 216-474-0092.
In case you didn't finish the point about the hairline.
Because it needs to be said. Has your relationship with college basketball changed? I'm just pushing back on the idea that every time – I felt like this is like baseball. It's a baseball fan too, where every conversation turned into how baseball sucked. It's a little tedious for me. I have high hopes for today. Save us, Robert Morris.
Okay, but if that's the case, though, and you're playing sick, so I'm not going to put this on you, but if you hadn't been sick and watched 25 minutes, I would say your point is null and void here today because I consumed a lot of it. The sport is not what it used to be in my mind, and a lot of it used to be based off of big-time coaches against big-time coaches. That's why I think I like Kansas-Arkansas so much last night.
Quick hits coming up at 2:40 today, guys. John Ledyard, Audibles and Analytics Podcast. He's coming up at 3. We'll get his thoughts on the remaining quarterback options, a little Shedeur Sanders. Does he believe Tyler Shuck could be a top 10 pick? Some people talking about that on the social media. Brian Howe, Colorado's Buffalo's beat reporter for the Buffalo Buff Zone. I'm going to call it the Buffalonian. The Buff Zone coming up at 6 o'clock. But has your relationship with college basketball changed? I do know something has changed, and that's our immediate relationship with the Cavaliers. Are we really here, guys? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Peterlin. March Madness is alive and well as we are live out here at the bar, the Clevelander Bar and Grill in downtown Cleveland. If you are on your way, it'd be weird if you're on your way to the Robert Morris game because that's going on currently.
Yeah.
And Robert Morris has pulled it close. But if you're on your way to the Vandy St. Mary's game, stop on by and see us. If you just need a great place to enjoy the vibe, I will tell you, in the break, we got another Vandy chant. I think they're just spelling Vanderbilt.
Well, they did a VU thing at the end, but you might be right. For such a smart school, just spelling out Vandy.
I don't give you credit for spelling your alma mater is part of a chant. You're kind of telling on yourself you're not a good sports school if that's what you're doing.
And they also get lazy with it, and they don't spell it out the whole way, and they just do Vandy.
Yeah, like, come on. It's Vanderbilt. After, I believe his name is Cornelius Vanderbilt. That would be Anderson Cooper's, like, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Put some respect on that name.
After beating Alabama in football, I don't know much could top Vanderbilt's season in the athletics program, but getting some nice wins would be there. This is what we're talking about here, though. This is it, right? This little stretch right here is exactly what was missing out of yesterday.
Yep.
We have two potentially big-time upsets on the horizon. Neither one might end up coming through, but we're having a good time.
I mean, hell, Baylor – sorry, because I'm looking at the screen of Baylor. Alabama,
only
being up by two with 7 minutes to go against a 15 seed – maybe that's the better point. I don't need every game to be an upset. I just need the convincing threat an upset.
You need a chance. Like, this is the win right here. This isn't. It doesn't matter win or lose. We got it close game, and more importantly, locally, we got close games.
Now, you and I have tried, as the Cavs have the Suns tonight, they're trying to end their three-game losing streak. You and I have tried to make some sense of this, and just trying to understand, like, all right, what matters, what doesn't matter. I do think it's interesting that we went from going streaking 3 games ago and having a 16-game winning streak, the best in franchise history, the best of the season, and running away with the number one seed to now. I'm not trying to call them out because they had a good conversation about it, but like the morning show said, is tonight a must-win game? It's like I would think there's no must-win games left for the Cavs unless this losing streak really lingers.
Yeah.
But I do think that highlights – it's not to call them out. It's to say I think that highlights how quickly things have changed, where after three losses and three very sloppy losses that should have been wins, how people are – suddenly the concern is starting to creep in.
Well, actually, I like that you brought up the morning show because I wanted to highlight something. I thought Owen had the best point of the entire segment when Owen mentioned the idea that between the relationship between Gilbert and Ishbia, this would be the Cavs are going to win this game. But the problem with that sentiment, Nick, is that suggests that the Cavs could have won the previous three games. It was just a lack of effort on their behalf.
So I don't know if it's effort, if it's focus. I don't know.
I mean, Mobley said they got complacent. Mobley says they get these leads, and they've had three straight double-digit leads, and then they get complacent.
I mean, I think the reason why it's not time to panic with the Cavs, and the reason why I do think this is going to be a make-or-break weekend for a lot of people. My personal barometer of concern, though, is not triggered because I do think it's a little bit of taking the eye off the ball. I think it is a little bit of maybe you got yourself out of your rhythm by resting starters too much. I think it is a little bit of senioritis. Like, I don't think it's one thing driving this. I think it's four very small things, which if you fix any one of those four, you get the win over. I know the names. I know Durant. I know the names of the Suns.
Yeah.
And they're not a good basketball team.
No, they're not a good basketball team. But the idea that just because the owner doesn't like the other owner to such a high degree that we could all of a sudden flip the switch and have this thing turned around, I'd almost be insulted if they go ahead and just absolutely deep pants the Suns tonight.
Like, what do you think? Does Dan Gilbert go up to him and go, guys, there's an extra 100K for every man in this locker room?
We got bonuses left and right.
If he beats Matt Ishbia?
Maybe. That relationship is apparently that – they hate each other that much. It might just be the case.
I mean, people have suggested in Cleveland if the other Ishbia, as he's known, if Matt Ishbia's brother buys the White Sox, then
Gilbert's
Dan Gilbert
the Guardians
has to buy the Guardians and continue to put boots to asses.
I would love
the White Sox.
I want this on the record right now. He meddles a lot. I would love Dan Gilbert as a baseball owner in this city.
I don't know.
Spends a lot of money.
I don't know that he will.
He would.
I think one of the reasons, I think the financial security blanket that is owning an NBA team, which is why the Celtics sold for $6 billion yesterday. What baseball team, not named the Dodgers, is getting sold for $6 billion? And I feel
the Yankees?
Although I guess I'm saying Boston, so big market, big market, big market. But I would imagine that the average sale price, I did not do the math on this because I don't know where we're going to go here. I would imagine the average sale price of an NBA team quite more substantial than the average sale price of an MLB team, and a lot of that's just tied to income and how money is shared in baseball. I don't know why we went here.
I mean, we could go down that road if you want to.
I am on DayQuil. Can I have an out on this?
Yeah, you can have an out.
Is this like a phone a friend?
Oh, we could do like you just like you hit a button and then you turn around in the voice. And
yes.
This is like you made your decision.
Yeah. So, is this weekend your breaking point for the Cavs? Look at that hard pivot.
If they lose tonight, then I'll just be convinced they're just not. They are, as Evan Mobley said, they're complacent.
Yeah.
We have the senioritis showing up.
Can we just say, though, if they are complacent, isn't that better than anything else?
Well, that's what we got to be rooting for, right? I can't be rooting for the idea that they've been playing their ass off for three games and have looked as bad as they have.
No, that's fair.
I mean, because that's not it's really not good if that was the case.
I mean, I think the most concern, you know me, I have said for a while, I think, I don't want to call it an implosion. The Cavs were the fifth seed last year. They weren't one of the top two seeds. But the reason why the playoffs weren't more competitive last year is health. I think Donovan was worn down. I think Darius was. I don't think Darius ever recovered. And Jarrett got injured. So if we start talking about panic, the only thing that can really change this weekend for me is if it becomes more obvious that Jarrett's not going to be able to play through this, or he's going to be 70%, or
the hand injury,
that the guards continue some sort of slight de-evolution performance-wise.
And by the way, one great game doesn't turn that into all the answers are solved either.
Oh, no, that's true. That's 100%. Like, we're at a point where we really should just be paying attention to stretches of basketball. And then this is what bugged me about where I kind of snapped yesterday of the crowning the Cavs thing.
Yeah.
Of like, I don't think you should just dismiss the three-game stretch as nothing. I also don't think you should make it much.
Like, I don't know that we should look at it like just a three-game stretch either. Although they won games previously, I think this is closer to like a seven or eight-game stretch, in my opinion.
But like, there's a part of me that says every game that you kind of claw closer to, being within 10 games. So game 73 on.
Yeah.
I'll start to get a little more anxiety. I'll start to be. I'd like to get back to the Cavalanches and the winning. But what you said, I do think for most fans, it'll take one game.
Well, and I think
I'm not sure it should, but I think just to combat what you said there, I think for a lot of people, if they came out and blew the doors off Phoenix, well, I guess we're going to go back into being comatose with the Cavs.
Yeah, which again, it would not erase the struggles that we've seen recently. I think for a lot of fans, though, this Cavs team has earned the right to kind of make themselves look good in the first round of the postseason, and then that let us be the confidence it takes us in the second round, and then we go from there.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so specific to what you're saying there, I think, quite frankly, it's not waning. I don't want to say that. I think I'm intrigued by where the Cavs are right now. But in reality, with 14 games, I think it's 14, 16 games left, there's really only so much that we should react to.
Yeah.
Now, if this turns into a 7-game losing streak, that's by far the worst losing streak you've had. Then you're going to 10 games,
but 11 also,
games.
Also like a losing streak where, again, it feels like there's no way of them getting out of it either. That would be bad.
I don't know I love putting all the pressure on tonight's game. Because I mean,
it's a Friday night game against a Suns team where, between the idea that Kevin Durant is 1 foot out the door, they are likely going to fire their head coach at the end of the season. Booker's got no idea what the direction of his future is going to be. Like, they are melting down in many ways. But again, we shouldn't have looked at the Kings as if anything was substantial there either.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Is this weekend your breaking point with your patience with the Cavs? I'm not there yet. I don't know how far. Here's the thing. I think this is going to be one of those things where I don't know what the tipping point actually is, and I don't think I'll really know about when my patience will expire with this losing streak or bad stretch of basketball. I don't think I'm going to know until I see it. I actually think
so. That means how they win or lose 100% matters in the upcoming games.
Well, yes, but not in any one single. Maybe the better way to put it is, I think the West Coast road trip has allowed me, because I'm not watching it in real time. I know I wake up at 5:30.
Okay.
I know the result afterwards, and then I go back and rewatch it.
You can mentally prepare yourself better in those games.
I think so. And so maybe that's where I'm coming from.
Because I've had to ride the roller coaster of them blowing these double-digit leads and me thinking I can go to bed but not going to bed, staying with it, and then watching them blow it.
Yeah, so who knows? I don't know. 216-474-0092. Is this weekend your breaking point with your patience for the Cavaliers? We were talking about the NCAA tournament. It looks like Baylor is about to pull off a slight upset over Mississippi State. Now, is a 9 over an 8, is that a true upset?
You got to tell me the Vegas line of the game before, because there's been some seeds. There was a 12-5 where the 12 was actually favored by Vegas. I'd have to go look at the Vegas line before I can go ahead and give that any sort of... Let me look it up really quick.
I kind of feel like, for me, it's once you get to a 10 versus 7, once you get to a single versus a double-digit seed is when I start to get on the upset-ometer, as it were.
So Mississippi State was giving up about a point and a half, which is actually kind of what you would think normally should happen for an 8 versus 9.
Yeah.
But again, it's been some weird setups with Vegas this year because the bracketologist did not favor a lot of teams, like Drake, for instance, that had 30-plus wins and had some big-time wins, and they just kind of threw him in as a 12 seed. So, slight upset, but nowhere close to, like, Alabama and Robert Morris, obviously.
Buckeyes 2003 saying, first day sucks, however, there's nothing more exciting than the atmosphere with the Elite Eight when Kentucky and Notre Dame played in Cleveland many years ago. The most intense game I've ever been to for basketball. I do think this is the catch-22. You mentioned that the Sweet 16 should be where everybody gets into it.
Yeah.
I think by then, though, the novelty wears out, too.
So that's the problem. I think so many people get so wrapped up into the first 2 days, first 4 days, this weekend, and it's not when the sport is actually at its best. If you were just to tell people, you've never watched college basketball, but I want to show you where the actual best games happen with the most intensity, most on the line, like we started the Sweet 16.
Nick and JP here live from the Clevelander Bar and Grill in downtown Cleveland. Come on out and see us. I want to say a big thanks to our friends at Bud Light. And we have a big, big to-do in college football, leading off quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry,
it's quick hits.
All right, JP, earlier this week, Deion Sanders made some waves as he proposed the idea of spring practices being turned into joint practices and then a spring game between two schools. Here is Deion on NFL Network giving an update on this idea during the Big 12 Pro Day.
Love and much respect to my dear friend and my brother, Fran Brown, Syracuse. I love him to life. I'm praying that he's the guy that's going to make that jump. His university, we've already communicated. Fran, I love you and I appreciate you. And I'm praying that it happens. It's not going to just be about football. It's going to be about financial literacy. It's going to be about everything. It's going to be about academics as well. We're going to do a joint thing with both teams.
So we do have, we finally have a little bit more clarity from Dion how he envisions this thing.
Okay.
Should other college football programs look into this?
Yeah, why not? It's kind of funny that Dion will get credit for it, but we've been doing this in the NFL now for years.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. Have them go after another team. And now the only problem there is you are then, you open up a lot of injury risk attached to all this. And then there's obviously the fights that happen too. But I like it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is should the spring game count? Or whether it's effectively just treated like any other exhibition game. I kind of like it if it counted.
Well, counted for what? For like the school record book all time or what?
Kind of wouldn't hate it. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is. I know it's ridiculous, but I kind of like the idea.
I don't mind playing for like a fake trophy or something like that. Doesn't impact the records at all, but the trophy can be worth thousands of dollars and insane. I don't know.
I think you just described the in-season tournament in the NBA.
That's basically what it is, yeah. I mean, think about it. Some schools do get – I mean, they pack in some of these spring games. Why not?
Should it be the same between the same two teams every year? Like if Ohio State played BG or Akron, and then Toledo played Michigan or Central Michigan, would that build any of the excitement, or is it much like in the NFL where whatever coach, it's up to whatever coach and whatever year.
Whatever coach, whatever year. But you got to go big game hunting. You know, I feel
so
like
you need Ohio really, State, Virginia.
Not Ohio State, Virginia. Go big game hunting.
Tech.
You don't want to go big game hunting?
So you said Ohio State versus
You want Ohio State versus Akron? Is that what you want?
I mean, we kind of get that in the first 3 weeks of the season anyways.
So just give it to us in the spring game?
Yeah. I'd rather watch Ohio State-Akron
in
March.
See, now that I don't love. Okay, now maybe we do need to make it team contingent because I don't want it to turn into a let's just beat up on a different conference team that we're going to beat up anyway.
Well, Syracuse, Colorado are kind of close to each other in terms of success and whatnot. All right, so Ohio State, Alabama. All right.
Yeah, why not? Like, that's a great time to do something like that. All right, next up.
Omaha!
Amir Khan is his name. He got the interview with John Fanta after McNeese's upset win over Clemson. And in the interview, you could see all his teammates just celebrating him in the background. He is the student manager that is getting – he's got three NIL deals. He has become the face of this version, this year, of college basketball. If you're a McNeese State basketball player, are you upset that the student manager is getting all the love?
No, because you get everything else. You get the girls – You get the financial rewards.
Amir Khan might be getting the girls, too.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's very unlikely. Unless they're doing it ironically.
Well, I mean, he's the big man on campus these days.
Or out of pity.
Oh. Could you imagine having this much attention on you and this much of a spotlight on you and Amir Khan not capitalizing?
I do think.
I would be a little upset if I was a McNeese State basketball player.
Well, here's the thing. Those guys never think of the student managers. I'm making a pretty generic statement here. Whether it's student managers in any lot of sports, you know, I'm not saying GAs, but like student assistants in college, football, those people tend to get overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
So that you might be right. They might be jealous just because, like, well, you don't play.
You're not actually on the court. You didn't really do, you did something with the win, but you didn't really contribute that much.
You know who's going to be the most upset? It's not going to be the first eight guys.
And you get the interview with Fanta?
It's going to be like the 10th or 11th guy off the bench.
Who could have been the student manager?
That's like, when we get out of basketball season, I'm beating this guy's ass.
Man, that's a tough look.
Moving on.
Omaha!
Bronny James had his best night. Last night in the NBA as the Lakers fell 118-89 to the Bucks, scoring 17 points on 70% shooting from the field, 50% from three on four attempts. Is this a glimmer of the player Bronny can be or become in the NBA?
I think it's just a one-off. It was nice to see. It was a really bad Lakers game. He did, by the way, have a plus-minus of negative 34 on the court last night.
No, that's not good.
That's not great. It was basically him and Dalton connect last night, and that was really about it. And so, I don't know. I just think it was a – for now, it's just a one-off, but it was nice to see that at least had that moment. I hated the articles all day long, though, and the talking points on it again. It just reiterates we should not be having the discussions we are about Bronny.
Well, I understand that, but the point is people have acted like – he has no business being in the NBA. Doesn't 17 points even in a blowout tell you? Like, yeah, he's a G League caliber player.
Well, and what's impressive, though, out of all of this is that he's actually averaging like 20 points a game in the G League.
Yeah.
Well, I watched a lot. At the time, I was gambling a decent amount, and I was watching a lot of late-night USC basketball.
That's usually how it starts.
And I'm telling you, in overtime, they would take him out. Like, important stretches of games, they would take him out. He was not good. He was great defensively.
Didn't he only play, like, six or seven games, though?
No, he played a decent amount. He only averaged, like, 6 or 7 points a game, though.
Yeah.
But I watched enough, like, actual important USC end-of-game moments, and they would take him out of the game. It's amazing that he averaged 20 points a game in the G League right now, and pretty incredible that he even got to do a 17-point game performance in an actual NBA game.
We're to the point where I'm rooting for Bronny to upset the apple cart just because I'm sick of people ripping on him because they don't like LeBron.
I just think we got to take it for what it is. You know, I don't hate the approach some people are taking where it's like we're just not even going to talk about him anymore, though.
Well, they're addicted to LeBron drama.
I know. Some people can't help themselves. But if there was a total, like, we just don't talk about Bronny anymore, and a couple people I've noticed have done this, I don't think that's a bad approach.
I forgot to tell you, I've been walking around this bar today. Multiple people have stopped me and told me that you know basketball better than Ken Carman and football better than Ken Carman.
Wow.
I guess
the people are starting to speak.
I was at the Wadsworth CVS, and people were like, Ken doesn't know half the football that Jonathan Peterlin
wow.
does.
Wow.
I mean, I'm out and about in the communities, and it's a consensus, and it's sad. It's tough to see how far the mighty have fallen. LeBron, Carman.
Well, it's really hard to know more football than the self-described LeBron James of radio.
That's right. It is.
Someone of that stature, it's really hard to be on the same level as.
I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah. Justin Fields. On to the next one. Justin Fields taking a shot at Mike Tomlin, a perceived shot at Mike Tomlin. He told, it's the Jets website, obviously, but they're like, so why did you want to come here? And he said, Aaron Glenn, reason number one. Most people, I think you'd look at it and say to yourself, all right, he's just talking about his new coach.
Yeah.
You know, he's giving his new coach dap. I don't think so, Nick. People in Pittsburgh are reading this to be as if this is just a clear-cut, another shot at Mike Tomlin as the two of them did not get along.
Right, so you're saying Pittsburgh, who kind of, the people of Pittsburgh who strung Justin Fields along for not just the last like couple weeks, but also like all football season, and even most of them thought that Justin Fields should be playing over Russell Wilson. You're saying those same people are now maybe accusing Justin Fields of taking a shot at Mike Tomlin?
That's what I'm saying. The natives are restless when it comes to the Steelers fans. The Yinzers are really upset at Mike Tomlin these days.
Their fan base is as dysfunctional as everything they say we are. They are emotional. They are, I mean, for think about the kind of success that they've had, and they melt down. Guys, it's Justin freaking Fields. Like, Mike Tomlin didn't run off Steve Young in his prime, okay?
But it is interesting. Fields takes a shot yesterday. Najee Harris has taken, like, 12 million shots, it feels like. He's taken a shot every day for 3 days now. Like, they are, the people that are leaving Pittsburgh are being very vocal about their disdain for the program.
I mean, we've heard Willie Colon go on, former Jets, former Steelers, saying the things he's hearing is that the culture is it's nowhere near it used the way it used to
gotta
be.
Gotta take some culture pills, I guess.
And then, if you don't, who is? You know, like, if you don't take him, who will? I think it's way too dramatic for where they are, but I kind of love it. Burn, baby, burn.
Can we talk about the Vandy fan that tried to come up while we're doing the show here?
Yeah.
Just for a second. Do you think he was an actual listener that is a Vandy fan? Or do you think he just saw, people talking at a table, I'd like to say hi?
I definitely think he wanted to talk some sports with us, so I'm going to go ahead and say he was a listener to the station.
Okay, that seems nice then.
And I feel so bad. I really do.
When you have to give him, like, the we're on the air thing?
Because the whole point about being out is being able to say, hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
And so when you can't do that, I just, like, I'm confrontational with almost everybody. Not people at in this setting, because this is where, like, I'm like in my normal life, I have no problem if I'm not wanting to talk to somebody, just being like, I don't want to talk to them, walk away. I can't do that in this environment because it's my home. Like, this is my mecca here, being in a bar with other sports fans when great sports are going on. Or,
I also don't think you would just tell someone I don't want to talk.
No, if I knew them, I would. Maybe I should have. I should have set that up better.
I have to say, I feel like you would. You give a lot of people the time of day.
That is that. Let's move on to the next one.
Omaha!
The 11-year-old boy who pulled the Paul Skeens MLB debut patch has officially sold it for $1.1 million. If we go back into DeLorean and give 11-year-old Jonathan Peterlin $1.1 million, what would you have bought? What's the first thing you would have bought with that kind of windfall?
Nope, you're going to hate my answer.
More baseball cards?
I have to be honest with you on this.
Okay.
$1.1 million. I put it right into the market, and I tell me I don't get to touch it until I'm at least 21 years old.
Wait, wait, wait. So you're 11.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I got to put it in the market. I trust the market.
Yeah. I'm going to let that.
You're at 11, you're doing
compound
it.
Interest. I knew it. Yeah, very young age. You got to.
When did you learn about compound
interest? The earlier you can get into the market, the better. I would have 100.
Were you saying that
I
you're
know
like
young
six?
Me. I know young me. This is how I thought about things. I wouldn't. You know what? You know one thing I really wanted as a kid that I never got, though?
What's that?
I always really wanted a dirt bike. I don't know why
you
I really wanted a dirt bike.
In the city.
I know. It made no sense. And I know why my parents never got me one. It's because I didn't live in the area to have a dirt bike. But I always wanted a dirt bike as a kid.
The dirt
so maybe
bike.
I would have bought a dirt bike and the rest I would have put in the markets and made my financial advisor say, don't touch it ever.
The dirt bike makes so much more sense than
I wanted a dirt bike really bad.
I have to be fiscally responsible at 11.
I remember one time, my 8th grade birthday, I was convinced my parents had got me the dirt bike.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
And they hadn't actually got me the dirt bike. In fact, they gave me like one of the best presents I ever got. They gave me tickets to the 2003 All-Star game that was at Comiskey. And when I got it, I was upset because it wasn't a dirt bike. But I was still happy because it was baseball, so it was fine.
Did
was
you
great.
Let them know you were upset?
No, never.
Yeah.
No, I'm not that. I'm not that kid.
I couldn't be that kid.
What would you have gotten?
Probably more baseball cards. Yeah.
I mean, I did have an extreme collection of Mark Grace baseball cards as a kid.
I mean, or food. I think you're seeing a trend
food?
Here. You know, some candies, some whatnot.
You could have bought a whole candy store with $1.1 million.
Go straight to
Mars.
Now
that's it. You might have been Wonka. You get $1.1 million, you might just be Willy Wonka.
I'm Fat Wonka. That's what I would have been.
You just like to wear top hats.
That is Quick Hits. When we come back, John Ledyard, host of Audibles and Analytics and the Read Option podcast. He's going to join us. We'll get into Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. We'll also get into where the Browns go from here at quarterback and the offseason expectations for the number 2 pick. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.